Good morning. Welcome. If you are visiting with us, we want to say welcome, welcome, welcome to Asbury United Methodist Church. My name is Doug Walker. I'll be serving as your liturgist this morning. And if you are visiting with us for the first time, we would like to extend a very special greeting to you. And we hope that you feel the love and the warmth of Jesus Christ as you worship here with us. Would like to take just a moment to remind you that as the attendance pads are passed down, just register your attendance with us. We say thank you for that. We'd like to know who you are and that you are here with us this morning. A few announcements before we get started this morning. There is going to be a charge conference today, just immediately following this service here in the sanctuary. It's only going to take just a few minutes, and we hope that you will attend that short meeting. In your bulletin, it does say that there is going to be a Vacation Bible School meeting today at 12:30. That has been canceled if you were planning on attending that. It's going to be scheduled at a little bit later date as soon as Laura has recovered and is up to that. This Friday, May the 12th, is going to be Parents Night Out. If you need more information on that, you can call the office and get the details. Also, next Sunday, Mother's Day. The youth is going to have a fundraiser. And if you love pancakes as much as I do, and it shows, but not too much under a dark suit, that they are great. They really are. The pancakes are going to be served from 8 to 10:45, and it's $5 a plate. You can't beat that with a stick. So do support the youth with the pancake breakfast. A few others, the United Methodist Women's Fashion Show is also going to be on the 21st at 2:30 in the afternoon. It's going to be in the WAC, and tickets are $10. And I believe they're on sale out here in the Narthex, so do pick up that. The clothes are going to be supplied by Chico. Also, following this service, I don't believe that the elevator has been repaired as of yet. If you need to get from this level to the first floor level, the ground level in the back, I believe that they're going to be running a shuttle out front. So if you need that, if you have a little trouble navigating the stairs, so please take advantage of that. In your bulletins this morning, a lot of announcements, is this. Show your church on your vehicle. This is a door opener for conversation. People will see that on your vehicle and say, you go to Asbury United Methodist Church, tell me about that church. Do you love your church? And you say, yes, I do. So do. On May 21st, these will be available. They are $10 each, and that is a conversation starter. Well, that's all I have other than just to smile at you, say welcome, and let's stand and greet each other and pass the peace of Christ this morning.
Let's stand and join our voices in praise together with hymn number 368, My Hope is Built.
Our dear Lord, would love to invite the children to come forward with me and let's have a little moment together. I've got a question. I want to know if you have ever taken your lunch to school. You have? Do you like to do that? Okay. You want to share with me some of the things that are in your lunch sack or lunch box? A what? A Capri Sun. Okay, those are good.
A sandwich that I've never
eaten. Aww. You don't care for the kind of sandwich that's packed in your lunch. I know the person that does that for you, and I'll visit with her about it. Oh, I'll visit with him about it. Okay. So you have a sandwich that's packed. You have some wonderful juice that's packed. Anything else? Some candy. Very nutritious. Yes. Anything else? Fruit? Is there any kind of fruit? You have oranges, goldfish, wonderful. Goldfish cracker things, not goldfish. Well, that's a great segue. There was a little boy that was on the mountainside when Jesus was teaching. And he had some fish in his lunchbox, and he had some loaves of bread. Wasn't a lot because he was a little boy, probably about your size. So it was just enough for him. Now let me ask you, if there was someone that was hungry, that was sitting next to you at the table, maybe they forgot their lunch, or maybe you're not allowed to share food at school. Well, that blows that lesson. But if you were allowed to do that, would you?
Yeah.
Yes. Because have you ever been really, really hungry? Yeah. Yeah. So you have been really hungry, and what happens? Your tummy kind of growls. And yeah. Yeah. So sometimes our tummy growls, or we get a little sick, or sometimes you can get kind of like you're about to faint. So our bodies are meant to have regular food. It's like a fuel. It's like gas in a car. You know, if we're going to run good, like our car runs well, then we need that fuel for us, that good food. Well, I'm going to share a message in just a bit about the time on a hillside when Jesus was teaching, and it was supper time, and there were 5,000 people. That's a lot of people. And they didn't have food. And so this little boy shared his lunch. And we're going to talk about what Jesus did with that. And so when you share some food with someone, what does that do for that person? It makes them feel better, absolutely. What else? Yeah, they won't feel nauseous or kind of queasy anymore, or dizzy. What does it do for you when you share? How do you feel? You feel good. Good, Emery. You feel good. And why do you feel good when you share? It's sharing. You've helped someone, haven't you? Yeah. It makes you feel good about that. It certainly does. Whenever any of us share our blessings and we've helped someone by doing that, it does indeed feel good. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for our children as they remind us what's important in life, as they remind us that it feels good to give to others and to share, and that when we do that, we're never deprived. In fact, we've been blessed, and we feel even better by giving away something than if we had kept it ourselves. So God, we thank you for our children. We ask that you bless them and their families now and forevermore, and help us to remember that we are all children of your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much. You all helped a lot.
as we prepare our hearts to go before the Lord, I'd like to read the names of those people who have requested that we lift them up in prayer. The Brandon family, Diana, Philip, Diana's mom, Mary Jane Patton, and the rest that you see here. I'd also like to ask that you make note of these. Garnet Hartong was in UAMS this past weekend. Laura Stennett, please keep her on your prayer list as she recovers. I believe she's still in the hospital, will be released tomorrow. Anita Curtis was in St. Vincent's on Friday, and I believe she's at home recovering now. And in visiting with Ms. Hyla Ruminer this past week, she asked me to extend a warm hello to her Asbury Church family. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, please. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, you supply our every need each and every day, just as you have promised. Sometimes we forget your word as we have not hidden it in our hearts. We worry, we get sad, and we often feel like we're on our own against the struggles of the day. We ask for your forgiveness, Lord. Help us to remember that you know us. You know us intimately, and you know our hearts, even to the number of hairs on our head. Help us to rely on you more, to spend more time with you. And when we seek you earnestly, we will find you, and you will supply all our needs in your Son, Christ Jesus. This morning, we bask in your love and your presence as we invite you here to be our honored guest. Fill this church with your Holy Spirit. In all these things, we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. I want to call your attention to the center portion of your bulletin, where normally you will find Pastor Mary's outline for her sermon. This is put in here for us, and it is titled Arkansas Disaster Relief Update. You know, there's so many people that have been affected by the floods this past week, and there are so many more that are going to be affected by the rising water. Let's keep them in our hearts, our minds, our prayers, and as you read through here, remember that a portion of our offerings do go to support disaster relief in this state through the United Methodist Conference. Let us pray. Father, we lift up all of those who have been affected by the tragic floods and who continue to be affected this morning. Help us to remember how fortunate we are and how we have been blessed by you. Lord, Asbury is a giving church, and we pray that you bless these offerings for the relief of those in need and to further your kingdom here on earth. Amen.
Thank you.
Let us join in our hymn of meditation, hymn number 344, Lord, You Have Come to the Lakeshore.
Won't you please be seated? I know that's not a particularly familiar tune, but doesn't it have lovely words, especially as we go to hear the word of Jesus Christ, our Lord? We're going to go to John, the sixth chapter, looking at verse 5 and going through verse 15. May the people of God be empowered, challenged, perhaps comforted by this hearing and reading of God's holy word as we go to the Gospel of John, the sixth chapter, verses 5 through 15. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 8 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each one to have a bite. Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but how far will that go among so many?" And Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and the men sat down, about 5,000 of them. Jesus then took the loaves and gave thanks and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. After the people saw the miraculous sign that Jesus did, they began to say, "Surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world." Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself. The word of God for the people of God. The other evening, I was watching an episode of Everybody Loves Raymond. And this particular episode, maybe you recall if you were a fan of that show, was when Marie, Raymond's mother, had lost her beloved canister, the one that she had used for so many years of her famous cooking. She had lost it, but then she recalled that she had loaned it out to Deborah, Raymond's wife. So she came to see about it, and Deborah insisted that she had returned it. Marie insisted that she had not. This was the typical tone of their relationship. They loved one another, but their relationship always had just a bit of contentiousness to it. With Marie being the "I need your constant praise and attention" mother-in-law, and Deborah being the "poor me, I can never please her" daughter-in-law. Well, as the scene plays out, just on any given day, they've kind of forgotten about the canister. But here comes little Allie, their daughter, Raymond and Deborah's daughter, and she's holding the canister. And they said, "Where have you had that canister?" "Oh, I've had my crayons and my toys up, you know, in it, up in my room." Oh, and she begins to panic, and thus the dilemma. If she lets Marie know that she's had the canister all this time, then she's wrong. And so, what does Deborah do? She hides it, so it'll be lost again. Marie comes over, unexpectedly, as she was known to do, one afternoon, just as Deborah is hiding it. And she comes in, she goes, my canister, she's so excited. "You found it. I knew you had it all along." And Deborah just looks with the holiest angelic face and says, "Marie, it's a miracle. It's just a miracle." Miracles. A miracle is defined as that which cannot be explained by science, that which cannot be explained by knowledge or factual reasoning, that instead it can only be explained as an act of divine intervention or God's work. Today's text of feeding the 5,000 is the only one of Christ's miracles that is in all 4 Gospels. This would tell us that it was an extremely important witness to all to know of this powerful moment in the life of Christ and in the life of the people who bore witness to it. Imagine that day. The weather was perfect. The crowd was full. So many people, the teachings were profound, and everyone was just absorbing every syllable of what Jesus had to say. Now, I want to set this up with a reminder of a couple of important events that had happened prior to this miracle. One was, there was a successful mission by Jesus of sending out the 70 out in the neighboring regions to witness and evangelize the good news of Jesus Christ, the salvation that could belong to them, not by adherence to the law, but by belief and faith in Christ. And it was also followed by a much different kind of event, one that, well, it just took the heart of Jesus, and it took the heart of so many that had been the follower of John the Baptist. For this miracle on that hillside took place following the beheading of John the Baptist. A profound effect, again, on Jesus. And so when Jesus saw the people, he had compassion in his heart. The gospel tells us that Jesus responded to the beheading of his beloved John by retreating, by withdrawing from there in a boat to a lonely place apart. It was devastating. They just had had enough. It was time to go where they could not be bothered. But it was not to be. The people saw where Jesus and his disciples were going. They saw them leaving and they ran ahead of them to the place where they were going. And Jesus had compassion as he looked upon the people because he realized he wasn't the only one hurting at the loss of John. He looked out upon the people with that pain in their eyes as well as that hope that Jesus would be even a greater prophet, even a greater preacher, even a greater one to look up to than their beloved John had been. For they were a people lost, for they had lost their old shepherd. When they felt like they needed him more than ever. And as the sun began to go down, it seems as if the people began to grow and the numbers. The crowd was huge. And the disciples spoke to Jesus, tried to appeal to the people to go home. It was getting late. It was time to go home. They said to Jesus, the disciples said, "This is a lonely place, and the hour is late. Send them away, Jesus. Let them go buy themselves something to eat." The disciples had run out of hope. Jesus said, "Give them something to eat." Jesus was not one to run away from a problem or waste time, precious time, arguing with his disciples. No, Jesus was one to solve a problem, not refuse a problem. Let us remember that when we run up against a problem. As we go to our Jesus in hope and faith and belief that he will solve our problem, not turn us away and refuse our problem. The Lord always supplies our needs. He always resources our needs. Now, the three Gospels show the disciples worrying about this food situation. But the Gospel of John is the only one that said Jesus asked Philip first, "Where are we to buy bread to feed these people?" You may wonder why Jesus singles out Philip. Why Philip? Why do you think the Lord allows us to be tested from time to time? It may be at those very moments in our lives we need to be tested. We need to be strengthened. We need to turn to Christ. Everything's been going great. We haven't really need to go out and reach out to Jesus to talk to him. I I would imagine Jesus gets tired that we just talk to him when we're in need. Philip needed to be tested. So Jesus went to him. And John states Jesus already knew what he was going to do and questioned Philip to test his faith. Perhaps Jesus had a hope that he would hear from Philip something like, "Okay, Jesus, you can do this. Let's see how you're going to handle it. I have faith you can handle it. With delight, I'm going to watch how you handle it." Instead, Jesus got this disappointing response. He got a realistic, concrete answer. 20 pounds. 20 pounds won't buy enough bread for every one of them to even have just a little. Jesus was disappointed, as he's disappointed with us from time to time, when we give a faithless answer, when we give a faithless witness, when we even offer a faithless prayer. But Jesus knew this universal truth that you cannot feed spiritual truth to empty bellies. Have you ever noticed how the compassion of Jesus always dominates his works? He never does something to show off. He never does something to prove his power, his might, to prove that he's the Christ. No. He always does something out of love and compassion. "If I send them away, they could faint along the way, for many have come very far." So he gave them bread. And as we read next in the text, we find Simon Peter's brother Andrew has perused the crowd and notices a little boy with a lunch. Now think about that. I want you to think about that. Out of 5,000 people crammed on a hillside, Andrew has discovered a boy with a lunch. I like this. It tells me a little detail that has been true through the ages, that members of the same family have a lot of the same traits. This is the brother of Simon Peter. Simon Peter, the impetuous, the bold one. Did it not also take a bit of courage and boldness for Andrew to go out into the crowd and take that lunch and present it to Jesus and say, "Well, I found this"? He did that with boldness and courage because he knew his Lord well enough that the Lord would never ridicule anyone that shows even a bit of faith. Excuse me. I think we need to remember that when we feel like what we have to offer is so meager. Excuse me. Can you cut my mic just a minute?
There's something else to think about in this story as well. Imagine, if you will, this hillside has 5,000 people in it. If you've ever been in War Memorial Stadium, that's almost a whole end zone. And here is this one little boy that has this meager, small, 5 little barley loaves. That was his lunch. It wasn't the French bread that we think of. It's this 5 little barley loaves. and a couple of fish. That he brought that for him and him alone, because it was only enough for him to eat. That's so meager, so small, but yet, as with everything, Jesus saw that, and he saw the smallness in that offering and made it to cover all of those 5,000 people. Not only was the young boy generous with his small offering, God took it and created a generous offering that had lasting effects past the meal when all of the small bits were brought up. You know, I'm reminded that if you haven't had an opportunity to go to Quapaw United Methodist Church and to see, it's not 5,000 people, but it's those people that come to that church for that meal that is served every Sunday afternoon. Also, stone soup, those people that come to want that nourishment, but what they get, and what they get at the with Greg's his ministry is so much more than just the food that we put inside of us. They get that spiritual food, and to be able to sit and hold the hands of those people that are so much in need, but they come, they get the food, and they get spiritual renewal. God gives us, and we are so blessed, we are all so very blessed that we're given so much. It doesn't take us long to figure out how much we have. I remember when I was working at UAMS Medical Center, I'd have problems, I'd get upset, and I'd go out and I would walk the hallways. And I would be wrapped up in my problems, probably much like one of the participants on that hillside of the 5,000, wrapped up and looking for something, looking for a king, looking for a redeemer, looking for answers and asking why. It didn't take me long to see somebody pushing an IV pole down the hallway. It didn't take long to see somebody on oxygen. And if I happened to be up on the second floor, it didn't take long to see a family weeping in the waiting room outside of that operating room, or having a patient being transported down the hallway with all kinds of tubes sticking out of them. We sat here this morning while brothers and sisters in Arkansas have had everything that they have washed away. Now, I don't say that to make us feel guilty for what we have. I say that to make us thankful for what God has given us.
I feel like this passage is so telling of what Jesus wants to get home to us, that so often we feel like what we give up is going to affect us in the negative. That little boys are ravenous. This little boy was generous. And it made all the difference in the world. In our everyday walk with Christ, we've got such wonderful opportunities, and so often we're blind to them. But every single day, we have an opportunity to share with someone who's ravenous, ravenous to be noticed, hungry to be loved, physically thirsty or hungry, spiritually parched,
And every day that we don't respond to that, we gravely disappoint Jesus. And we hurt ourselves as well as those we've neglected. This chapter 6 of John's ends with the people just not letting Jesus alone. Verse 26, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" And Jesus answered, "You did not seek me for signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not labor for bread which perishes, but for the bread which gives eternal life." They asked what they must do in God's work. And Jesus said, "This is the work of God, that you believe, that you believe." And Jesus said, "The bread Moses gave was not from Moses, but from God." And they said, "Lord, give us this bread always." And he says, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall not hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst." My faith is just not very perfect at all. But my faith, I know, is continuing to develop. And that means more to me than being perfect. That means that I'm not giving up. That means that I acknowledge God is not through with me. That means that every day then holds some excitement because my faith is going to grow that day. My faith has had its hard challenges just as yours have. But my faith has enabled me to work through those challenges, to heal those wounds, to make those tough decisions. But I'm okay today. And I'm okay because God is strengthening me even in this moment. And from all of this, I trust the Lord like never before. I stand before you as a sinner, but as a redeemed sinner. And I like who I am in Jesus. Do you like who you are in Jesus? Are you down on yourselves? We're not called to live one single second in feeling bitter about ourselves or another person in this universe. We are not given this life to do anything other than to like who we are in Jesus. Knowing that we're not complete, but that every day we are developing, we are becoming that new creation in Christ. I like who I am in Jesus because no longer do I hunger for success. No longer do I hunger for a higher appointment in the conference. No longer do I hunger for riches. No longer do I hunger for things. No longer do I hunger to be accepted. I only hunger for Jesus. And I'm really good with that. Because I trust Jesus and I don't need the world to tell me I'm valued. Because Jesus is already telling me that every day. I share this as my personal witness to you because I have partaken of the bread of life and I'm satisfied. That's the real miracle, don't you see, on that hillside. That's the real miracle in the moment that you get there, that you are satisfied. That you have eaten of the bread of life of Jesus Christ, and you hunger no more. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. I would invite the congregation to turn to page 12 as we prepare for the sacrament of Holy Communion. As a word of instruction, we will be singing the responses as the choir will lead us forward in that. Hear this invitation. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Let God. Amen. Let us participate in the great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy.
Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took the bread, gave thanks unto you. He broke the bread and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this as often as you do in remembrance of me." And after the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks unto God, and gave it to his disciples, and he said, "Drink this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink it as often as you do in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts, in Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and the blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and your Holy Church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. In the United Methodist Church, we observe an open communion, which means you do not have to be a member of this church in order to receive the elements that represent the body and the blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We do offer a gluten-free option, should you care for that. And there's also a basket that will be presented in the middle of the aisle, and that's just if you choose to give to our community assistance fund as we try to reach out to the needs of others. But I would invite now all those who are going to assist me to come forward at this time. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for this meal that you set before us, for not only the sustenance that we have received in our bodies, but the sustenance we have received in our souls. May we now be equipped to go forward in the energy and the faith and the conviction of Jesus Christ our Lord, to better serve him faithfully in this world, that others may know the power of knowing Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. We pray this in his holy name. Amen. Our closing hymn of commitment is I Know Whom I Have Believed, 714. If there are those here today who would like to unite with this church in any ways we receive members, we invite you to come forward and make that profession or to renew your profession, or if you need some more prayer time, we invite you to do that at this time as well. Let us be standing. It was wonderful to be in worship with you. Thank you for your patience in my little lapse there. Please receive this benediction. And now, God, we thank you so much for loving us so much to give us your Son as our light and as our salvation. May we go into this world that can sometimes feel a little dark and offer some light that they might discover salvation in Jesus Christ. May we go in his holy peace. Amen. Okay.